comments.
In Zechariah 3 and verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if there's your will, there's your will, there's Israel's will as a whole. Brother John used the term collectively with me the other day. There's a collective will. He's speaking of his people. He's speaking of Jerusalem. And he said, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge. You see, that's the will of his people. That's a choice. The difference between us and God is he's an absolute. He's firm. He's truth. He changes not. He says it gives liberty in your choice, in your will. But then he said, when your will is my will, he said, then thou shalt also, it's an absolute, shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will, there's the will of God, I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. The key to understanding what's taking place is that Satan is withstanding him at his right hand. What is Satan withstanding? The blood? No. The body? No. He's withstanding the word of God. He's withstanding the voice of God. He's withstanding by snatching the seed out of the air. The fowl of the air taking the seed away. The prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air, is snatching the word of God away any opportunity he has. And can I say, to do so, it's not a miraculous thing, but oftentimes it's simply because our ears will not hear. Our hearts will not receive. We do not want to hear what the Lord says. We don't want to receive what thus saith the Lord. Why, the God of this world hath blinded our eyes. We cannot see. We cannot hear. We will not receive. I want to preach along these lines this morning of how Satan resists, but I want to look at this as a people. It's not individual. He's speaking of Jerusalem. He's speaking of his people that he has called out, thank you, sir, and separated unto himself. And then he says, if with his people, if with the called out assembly, if with those that have named the name of the Lord. So he's telling us that it's not an individual's will in what he's speaking of here, but rather it's the will of the people. If thou wilt. If you are willing to walk in my ways, if you are willing to take heed to my word as a whole, then that's when God steps in. Why is it that we can't as a whole find God? Because of the resistance of Satan. Why is it as a whole we can't meet with God? Because of the resistance of Satan to the Word of God.
Right.
He jumbles our minds, bothers our spirit, stops up our ears, closes our eyes, distractions, interruptions, self-will, not the will of God. Before I start turning to verses to support some of the things I've said, let me just say this. To know the will of God is to have humility when you speak the word of God. Brashness, arrogance, foolishness have no place in the will of God. Boldness can have place in the will of God. But not with pride. Things out of sorts, things out of place. Who bears the responsibility? We do. So he said, that's the worst youth week ever. I know, let's blame the Black Creek Baptist Church. It was their fault.
Amen.
But we're together. Let's blame the pastor. But we're together. Let's blame the moderator. We're together. Let's blame the Southerners. And by the way, you go to Southern church, that's what they blame for all the problems is the Northerners. But we're in this together. We'll turn a couple places in the scripture. First of all, I want to go to 1 Chronicles 29. And I want to look at Jerusalem as a whole. In other words, the work of God in Jerusalem, in a people. In 1 Chronicles 29. I'll start in verse 16. David is seeking God's face and turning the kingdom over to Solomon. And beginning in verse 16, he prays, O Lord God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh out of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people. There's the subject, thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people. And notice this, and prepare their heart.
Amen.
Unto thee. It's not that the strength of a meeting falls on the back of one man. It's not that the power of the meeting falls on the heart of one individual.
Right.
Why? Because it is their heart. This is the heart of Israel. This is the heart of the people. Why is there resistance? Why is there a division? Why are there schisms? Because our hearts collectively as a whole are not towards God. Bitterness, bitter envy, strife, malice, discontent. Those things that creep in to the hearts and the minds of people. And they let the division, they let self-will, they let self-worship, they let their bitterness separate them from others. They try to cause division. And Satan, standing at the right hand of the great high priest, rejoices over that division. And God is limited because of that unbelief. And the responsibility falls on us as a whole. Why did nobody get saved in the meeting? Because the preacher didn't do a very good job. Well, let's analyze this from a preacher's perspective. Why didn't the preacher do a very good job? Could be he couldn't focus because people weren't prone to listen. Amen and amen and amen. It could be he couldn't think because the devils of hell are attacking him while he preaches and nobody discerns to pray in the service. It could be we don't want to be here. Amen. It could be there are people that despise what goes on here. But they don't have enough boldness to admit that. So they blame everything else and hinder the work of God because of their wicked heart. Will they be judged individually? Yes, they will. But what is the effect? It's the effect of Achan. Achan's sin destroyed a people. Achan's sin caused death in many people. Achan had seen the miracles. Achan had just crossed over Jordan. He had seen the miracle of Jericho. He saw the work of God in what took place. He's one that came out of the wilderness, crossed over into the promised land, yet did not believe God. Brother John spoke the other day of those that have tasted, they've been partakers, they've been around the things of God. Yet they have no desire for God. They have no want for God. They have no thirst for God. So what happens? There's a division. There's a schism. We're not as one. We're not in one accord. We are not in a place where God can minister as that dew upon the shorn grass. The refreshing of God. Why? Because there's those that will not let the dew of God fall upon them. There's those that will not rise in the morning, in the early morning hours, and put themselves under that heavenly dew and the refreshing and the moisture that it brings. And they refuse to seek God. They refuse to pray. They refuse to be a part of the work of God. But they'll blame somebody else. People are sorry as they could be if they blame the preacher for their problems. People are sorry as they can be if they blame the church for their problems. I'll say this, you're sorry if you blame your spouse for your problems. You're sorry if you pin your problems on anybody else but yourself. And can I say, church, we're sorry if we pin our problems on anything else but us.
That's right.
We're sorry if we pin our problems on someone else and try to blame somebody else because we won't believe God, because we won't honor God. We won't thirst after God. There's a heart of Israel. I'm going to look at that for the next few moments. I want to go to Isaiah 29. I'll go through these as quick as the Lord gives me liberty to. Isaiah 29 and verse 13. I want you to look at this. I'm going to look at two references concerning this. Jesus Christ used this two different times then. Wherefore the Lord, we're in verse 13 of Isaiah 29. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Can I say to you, I don't see an individual here. I don't see one person here. I don't see a man's name. I don't see it as an individual challenge, but I see it says, this people.
Amen.
It's plurality.
Right.
It's the whole.
Right.
It's the lump. It's all.
Right.
This people. Now listen, I'm just self-righteous and self-spiritual enough to want to blame all of you. I'm just self-righteous enough to say that anything that's a failure this week certainly couldn't be this spirit-filled moderator so in love with God that he got out of bed at 6:15 this morning. I'm not going to say, you know, these people, you people. No, can I say we're in this together? We as a whole, we collectively, we as the church have an obligation to meet with God. But he said, this people, they draw near me with their mouth, with their lips they do honor me, but their heart is far from me. We call for a season of prayer, and I watch people laugh. You know why? Because all they have is lip service toward God. My pastor says we're going to prayer. I try to be the first one up. He says, I need somebody to pray. I try to be the first one up. Not because I'm some kind of spiritual giant. Not because I'm some kind of this marvelous example to children. There's no hypocrisy in it. When it's time to pray, it's time to pray. And some people despise that season of prayer. Some people despise the testimonies of God. Some people despise those that would dare stand and tell what God has done for them. All they can see is the foolishness of the flesh. All they can see is the little idiosyncrasies that they don't like, the little goofy things they don't like. All they find is fault. All they find is criticism. All they find is somebody that doesn't live like they live or act how they act, and they'll find fault with it and they'll find criticism, and we all bear the brunt of it.
Yep, amen.
Who run their mouths on the preachers, run their mouths on each other, despise the things of God, don't want to be a part of the services, feel obligated to come but don't really want to be a part of it. And to be a part of it doesn't mean you just sit there like a bump on a log. To be a part of it is when the moderator stands and says, let's sing. You grab your hymnal, you open your mouth, and you get to praise the great God of heaven and lift up your voice and praise to him in song. And the moderator says, hey, let's have somebody pray. And Brother Donnie Harvey stands to pray. And you pray along with him in your heart. And you say, oh God, we need a service today. We need to meet with you today. And then Brother Vernon stands to pray. And you cry out in your heart. You cry out audibly. And say, oh God, we need help today. We need something today. But instead, what I discern is there's people going, why does he pray so weird? Why does he talk so funny? Why do these men yell? Why can't they be quiet? They pick apart and mock and make fun of the things of God, and we collectively are bearing the brunt of that hellishness. As a whole, the heart of the people is waxed gross. Jesus spake of this in Mark 7, and he identifies this crowd for us. This is what I do. I take a look down the barrel of the Word of God. If it hits you between the eyes, take it like a man, even you ladies. Mark 7 and verse 6. He answered and said, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Who are the hypocrites? He said in verse 3, it's the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. What does the hypocrite do? We don't do it that way. That's not the way our church was. That's not the way our meeting is. That's not the way I grew up in church. That's not the way I want it. That's not the way I need it. That's not the way I think he should preach. That's not the way I think he should talk. That's not the way I think he should act. I wish he'd do this. I wish they'd do this. I wish those girls would do this. I don't like that song they sing, because at our church we did it differently. At our church we had it this way. When I grew up we did it differently. This is not normal church. That's why some of you are dead in trespasses and sins. You would die to have normal church. You would love to have normal church. A poem, three prayers, two songs, and go home for the day. But this isn't normal church. This is a body of people collectively seeking the power of God and the presence of God and the work of God. That's why you despise it. Now conviction comes. And that troubling comes, and you watch people with conviction all over their face. Let me tell you, some of you little girls, you've learned how to hide it, but you don't hide it from God. You learn how to hide it by the mask of stoicism. Brother Donnie says, let's just praise him. And out of disobedience to the man of God, you can just say amen. Nobody lifts a hand. Nobody smiles. Nobody rejoices. Amen and amen. That's out of disobedience to the man of God. You wouldn't disobey your parents. You wouldn't disobey in your home church, but you'll come here and you'll defile the preacher with your disobedience. You'll defile the preacher with your hardness of heart. You'll defile the congregation with disobedience because it doesn't fit your mold. And your mold might be made in hell.
I'll preach.
Oh, amen.
Help us.
Satan's resisting the work of God, and your mold is of Satan.
Help.
I'm not being cocky or arrogant, but you're not going to put me in a mold, and you're not going to put me in a box.
That's good.
And I've had people over the years, I've lost meetings. Hey, listen, I've had preachers say, listen, brother, that's not what we're looking for. I had a man call me a couple years ago. He said, your style of meeting doesn't fit what we're looking for. I said, go find what you're looking for then. I'm looking for God. I'm not looking for a fashion. I'm not looking for a style. I'm not looking for anything but the power of God and the presence of God. Because collectively, I want the church to hear from God.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Why do you yell? Keep the spirit of slumber out of here.
Amen. Amen.
I was preaching on the spirit of slumber at a home church. It's amazing. You start preaching on it, two or three more people get it while you're preaching on it. You're telling them you're not sleeping, you're slumbering because you hate what's being said, and the devil's overthrown you, and the spirit of slumber's come upon you, and two or three more doze off. I always get nervous when you young men fall asleep in church, because that pretty much tells me what you've been doing all night. Just go ahead and say amen. You ain't been praying. You don't come in here to pray. That's where our heart is. That's where our heart is collectively. Don't exclude yourself. You're in the middle of it. Jesus said, you hypocrites. In verse 6, he said, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Where's the heart of our nation? In hell? Out of hell?
That's right.
Where's the heart of most churches?
Hell.
Out of hell?
That's right.
Traditions? Bound by tradition? Now listen, I'm going to say this, Brother William's sitting here. He and I saw each other 2 weeks ago at a church. They're the most formal church I personally go, and I can't believe they have me in. When they get done the service, I stand back, and Brother McFarland stands over here, and they play a song on the organ and on the piano, and we stand for it. And I can do it. I was in the military. I can do it. And we begin to walk in sequence. He goes down the steps. I go down the steps. We meet in the aisle. We walk down the center aisle. When they sing, it's with rigidity and it's with formality. But when they sing, it's with praise. I said, it's with praise. When they sing, it's glorious. Amen. When they say, listen, they got 39-foot Douglas fir to post and beam building on the coast of Maine. 4 39-foot Douglas firs in the middle of the church. Everything is post and beam, no nails until they got to the roof slats, which is cedar. One of the most beautiful buildings you'd ever see. Acoustically, it's marvelous. And when they sing, the rafters begin to vibrate. Not but 35, 40 people in there. And it's not because I'm there. Amen. And they sing. And brother, it just stirs in your soul. As a young man in that church, he's the finest church singer I've ever heard in my life. And he begins to sing that high tenor. And I tell you, they don't shout there, Brother Donnie. They don't yell. They don't holler. They don't run. But I sit there with a chill going down my back. And sometimes I'll just run in place a little bit. Sometimes I'll go, hey, I'm going to run. Ah! Hey, man, it stirs in me.
Amen.
Because the heart is given to praise. You don't have to be like me. And I don't have to be like you. We all come from different churches, different backgrounds, different places. But this meeting, our heart ought to be towards God.
Amen.
I hope the collective heart of this meeting is not going around getting people to repeat some words. I hope it's not going around trying to get people to repeat a prayer. I hope it's not trying to get professions out of people. I hope our collective heart is in the power of God, that repentance is wrought in their heart. And when repentance comes into their heart, that life is changed by the power of Jesus Christ. I hope that's our collective vision. I hope that's our collective thought. I hope as a whole we're trying to get young people not just to repeat prayers, not just to say mantras, not just going through a sinner's prayer, not going through ritualistic salvation, but in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost, they would fall down their face and lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting and come off their knees and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. That ought to be the focus of this meeting. Well, Brother Kyle, I said, Brother Kyle, it's a hard time with words, but I didn't notice. I got what he was saying, did you? I was sitting on the couch this morning. I'm not making this up. My wife hadn't come down yet. I was sitting on the couch this morning. I was thinking and pondering on some things and thinking on the Word of God. I could hear old Kyle say, and that piece, I don't know how to explain it. And I was sitting on the couch. And I just said, glory! It is the peace of God. It passeth all understanding. You can't explain it. And as soon as he said that, I said, I know he got it. Because if you can explain peace, you don't have peace. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
1945. Go into Paris. It's been liberated. They're free. The Nazis are on the run. The American GIs are thronging the city. What did the people do? They ran into the streets. They kissed GIs, men and women. They gave them cakes. They put them on their shoulders. They climbed on the jeeps. They played horns. They waved flags. They were just why peace had come to Paris. You ask anyone, can you explain this? Can you tell me what this is? And they would say, well, I don't know what it is, but we're free. We're free. We're free. Hallelujah. The Nazis have been cast out. The Nazis are gone. I'm free. I'll just quote one of them good Southern preachers. Amen. Free at last. Free at last. Look at them conflict. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. Amen. I know a guy thinks I was a heretic for quoting old Dr. King. Amen. It don't bother me a bit. You've been made free in Christ. It won't bother you. You'll understand it. Matthew 15. Jesus still speaking of Isaiah. In chapter 8 of Matthew 15. Again, he said, this people. This people. This people. What people is that? Verse 1, Jesus came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees. Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? So they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And he asked and said to them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus, ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Thank God. I say thank God for Brother Herbert. Listen, he salvaged a boy. Listen, I was not young, but I was a baby. And he salvaged me from a life of lukewarm, dead, formal, traditional Christianity. Amen. He would come in and say, Pastor, what do you have for the children at your church? We go, well, we got preaching.
Yeah. Amen.
No, I mean, what do you do for the children? He goes, well, we have service and I preach. No, Pastor, you don't understand. What do you have for the children? I mean, one time a lady was on the phone. I was in a vehicle with him. He's going through this rigmarole. I'm over there. Of course, I'm just waiting for it. Finally, he just had enough. You had to know Brother Herbert. Didn't take long for him to get enough. He said, we got preaching, lady. Amen. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Well, when I grew up, we had spirographs and looms. When I grew up, we colored NIV coloring books. Then we got preaching. He said, we got preaching.
Amen.
Hey, listen, my children are young. They're not listening to what's being said. But you know what? They don't mind preaching because they're babies.
Amen.
That's good, brother. Yeah.
They don't mind preaching. Do you get mad at preaching, baby? Baby Skull, do you get mad at preaching? You know, why is it they? You know who gets mad at preaching?
Come on.
Amen. I can't believe he said that. I remember Brother Travis one time, and the pastor said to in front of us, and he was a jerk, and he comes to Brother Clayton, he's kind of mocking Brother Clayton, and I said, hey, why don't you have him in for a meet? It just gets awkward. Brother Rose used to do that to me. He'd go up to some of these big shots. He'd go, hey, Brother McVeigh's an evangelist. Why don't you have him in and watch him squirm for about 20 minutes, hemming and hawing while they, well, our schedule's full. We, you know, we got 9 missionaries and 2 evangelists this year. And, you know, and I said, and so Brother Clayton goes, yeah, brother, why don't you have me in? He goes, oh, Brother Clayton. He goes, if I had you in, he goes, you'd tear apart my church. Brother Clayton, that big grin, he goes, not if you're pastoring it, I wouldn't. Amen. Amen. Hey, baby, it's because it's not your flavor. It's not your liking. Hey, ice cream's good. I don't care what flavor, unless it's stupid. I don't want no ghost pepper onion ice cream. But you, hey, listen, you can put oranges, pineapples, raspberries, chocolate chips, peanut butter, marshmallows, any kind of nuts you want. Ice cream is good. Hey, even plain old cheap generic Walmart vanilla is pretty tolerable. Amen, amen and amen. So he's preaching.
Amen.
Sir,
it's good.
Let it rip.
Help us.
Why is it we as a whole are letting Satan resist us? Because there's something we got in our craw. And it's called bitterness. Tim Green in April said, bitterness is the besetting sin of Baptist churches.
Amen.
Do you know what he's done to me? Listen, I could tell you all, I could tell you all the hurt and the pain and the suffering that Ron Williams has put me through in this ministry and in my life. I mean, that man has tried to destroy me and my family. He's told us about Jesus. He's told us how to raise children. He's told us how to have a proper relationship. He's preached the gospel to my family. But one time he said something I didn't like. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I had Ronnie Skolton come preach in my house. We had more people there than some churches have. They had his daughter preach after him. We just didn't call it preaching. Now people thought that was so weird. That was so weird. But you know who was there? A whole bunch of lost people. Young lady asked us, she said, can I bring a friend? And well, there's a guy we work with, and he's on drugs, and I want to try to help him. He won't go to church. Maybe he'll come to something like this. And he did. And he did. That's weird. We don't do that at our church. We don't have things like that at our church. Can you imagine the bulletin for Youth Week? Maybe we'll type one up for the tailor next year. Sing two songs. Brother Taylor's going to yell at everybody for a few minutes. Brother Dale's going to come preach. We'll sing another song, have testimonies. We'll pray, take up an offering. Brother Taylor's going to yell at people a little bit more. John Aswith's going to preach. Then we'll take another offering. Then we're going to go to lunch, maybe. Would that help some of you if we did that? Where's our heart?
Amen.
Where's our heart? Isaiah 6. You know why prize fighters only fight for 3 minutes and take a break? Because they're tired. You don't preach and you don't get a break. Sometimes you slow down a little bit, catch your breath, but you don't get a break. I challenge you with this. Brother Sammy Allen years ago, he said, you preach right? He said, you'll spend more energy than a basketball player at a basketball game. Amen. Don't let that bother you. Holy, holy, holy. As we gather together this day, let us focus solely on the scriptures of the Word of God. It's not in me. I'm not critical of it. It's just not in me. So let it be in me. Let it be me. Let Donnie Harvey be Donnie Harvey. Let John Aspin be John Aspin.
Amen.
You don't like that doctrinal preaching? Keep your mouth shut. Go to take it to the Lord. You know, like David Vernon, that soft soap and sugar stick style, just take it to the Lord. Now listen, I probably shouldn't say this, but half people might leave. I think Brother Zach Vernon might preach in a little bit here this morning after I'm done. I asked him to come in and clean up this mess. And I told him, I said, it won't be too bad. Ron Williams coming to clean up your mess when you're done. Amen. And usually people don't have to clean up his messes. Amen.
Amen.
Where's your heart? Hey, if you love Brother Zach, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't like Brother Zach, why don't you not be a hypocrite and say amen?
Amen.
That's right. We're talking about the collective heart here, right? We're talking about the whole. Brother Vernon spoke for all of us. He spoke for all of us. You ever get on an airplane with those backward facing seats? You got seats facing each other. You don't know. You pray to God Jezebel doesn't sit across from you. I was out in San Diego doing work 20 years ago, and they talked me getting on the tilt-a-whirl, 31, 30, about 30 years old, I guess. My last trip on the tilt-a-whirl. I now call them the tilt and hurl. I took Dramamine before I got on the airplane, and that just made it worse. I'm in that backward facing seat, and I'm now as sick as a dog. It took off wrong, landed wrong, turbulence was wrong. I'm staggering through the Pittsburgh airport green. I'm about to vomit. And I go and I get one of these little commuter puddle jumpers. And listen, you go to the Allegheny Mountains, one of those puddle jumpers. You don't talk about turbines. I'm talking about hundreds of feet at a time. I've had that plane where I'm in the right. I'm looking down at the mountains. The next minute, I'm looking up at the sky. We came to Hagerstown one time, and I'm in the back of the, I'm lined up with the runway the whole way in. The wind was blowing so hard, I'm looking straight down. Finally, the last minute, it goes, ooh, and lands. You know what? I wasn't sick on that flight. So I was facing the right way. I was going the right direction. I was going the natural direction of the airplane. You know what the natural direction of this meeting is? It's towards God.
Amen.
If you're sick, it's because you're going the wrong way. This is our heart. This is us. Don't let Satan isolate you.
Amen.
Get on board.
Amen.
Listen, I got to be really honest about it. I don't like Cliff Taylor, but I'm on board with him. That's right. I don't talk bad about him. Since I call him and even try to lift him up, knowing I don't like him. My wife says, why are you calling that guy you don't like? I said, because he's going the right way.
Amen.
And I want to help him go the right way.
Thank you.
And I want to push him along the right way.
Amen.
Donnie Harvey calls and I start weeping. My wife says, is it Brother Harvey? I'm like, yes. She said, if you need me, I'll be downstairs. I say hello. And I lay the phone down and go mow the lawn. My wife will check every few minutes. She'll be like, yeah. And I'm telling the truth. Hey, man, I'm telling the truth. You think he's bad in here? Y'all be on the phone with him. When he gets done, I say, thank you for calling me, Brother Harvey.
Amen.
You're heading the right way.
Right.
You're heading the right way. This meeting's heading the right way.
Amen.
God's put this meeting in order and it's heading the right direction.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isaiah 6 and 10. Let me go to verse 9 actually for complete this. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. That's not something that we want to see. Because this is what he said. Make their ears heavy and shut their eyes. Lest they see with their ears and hear with their ears. Or see with their eyes and hear with their ears. And understand with their heart and be converted. And be healed. You see, it was no longer Satan resisting them. God was resisting them. For God resisteth the proud.
Amen.
But, I always look for that beautiful biblical word, but. He giveth grace to the humble. I'm not being funny in this. Why don't we approach it like this? Not the expectation of God, but if God. If God. I'll be honest, I came here with an expectation. It was dashed to pieces. Bitterness, strife, various. And I besought the Lord and just said, Lord, is it me? The Lord laid these verses on me the other day. So how many of us are saying, if God will? If God will. If you would please Him to meet with us, not because of who we are, not because of what we are, not because of who preaches, because He's the great God of heaven.
Amen.
And He showeth mercy to His people.
Yes.
If God would meet with us. Jeremiah 5. We're looking at the heart of Israel. Don't accuse me of replacement theology. There is a heart to the church. The church is that body. I sent some of you that question yesterday. I was just curious. Some of you just said amen. Some said a few things. I said it as a loaded question. This body has a heart. And can I say I believe the heart? And you can take it as you please, but I believe the heart is us. That's the heart. It's pretty bold to say, I am the heart of the church. I'm the pastor. I am the heart of the church. Oh, you old wicked heart. Amen. Amen. You old darkened heart. No, the heart is us. Black Creek Baptist Church can't carry this meeting on their own. We don't bring people here to get offerings. We bring people here to give offerings. But every year, God provides. Every year, God's taking care of the need. Every year, we've been fed. Every year, there's been times it seems like the Lord's met with us. But where's our heart today? Where's our heart today? Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 23, I'll just read this one verse. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest, but your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Your sins have withholden good things from you. Hey, Aiken! Are you satisfied? Hey, Aiken, how about a little bit more gold? A little wedge of silver? Hey, Aiken, how about another garment? You satisfied, Aiken? This people. Could it be there's one person withholding the goodness of God from this place? Not if it's our heart. You're either in the meeting or you're out of the meeting. You're either here or you're not. But if you're here, get the heart of the meeting. Get the heart of the meeting. I said at the outset, and I meant it, and I still stand by it. You can't impress John Asquith. You can impress me. I impress so easily. If you preach something I should have learned in first grade, I'll be impressed because I probably didn't get it. You're not going to impress Brother David Vernon, although he made it to second grade. You know who you're going to impress? the Lord?
Amen.
How do you impress Him? You obey Him. You obey Him. You put your heart to obedience and quit rebelling and quit being stubborn. Don't revolt against Him. Jeremiah 13. Verse 10. This evil people. Can we stop there? Are we really evil? Well, has God met with us? Have we received the good things of God? Has the goodness of God flowed through this service, through these aisles, through this church? I'm not evil. But we might be. This evil people which refuse to hear my words. I don't mind using references. I don't want to be carnal. I've said for many years that Charlie Brown's teacher is most Baptist preachers in people's ears. That's a good preacher, Reverend. That's great preaching right there. We sure enjoyed that. Hey, preacher, you sure didn't step on my toes. If you didn't have high heels on, you wouldn't worry about it. You sure got me, preacher. I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get us. I'm trying to get us, our heart, the collective heart of this church and of this meeting to head the right direction. Drop self-will. And show God whatever you want, I'll submit to it. Whatever you need, I'll submit to it. I don't have a pony in this race, but dear God, would you give the men of God the liberty to preach? Amen. Just walk in the imagination of their heart. Oh, I wish this meeting was like other youth camps. Well, in some ways I do, but I don't like the fornication. I sure don't. Oh, that didn't bother you, did it? I know youth camp directors have sent home dozens of children during the week. They caught them in the ditches behind the cabins and secretly in the lake at night and sneaking out. Everybody doing okay? You're choking on that. I wish this was like other youth camps. Yeah, they got internet service. All the boys can get on their phones and show each other naked pictures at night. Well, I wish this was like other youth camps. I wish this was matchmaker youth camp where all the boys and girls mingle and the girls wear their skirts barely at the knee if they wear them and the boys wear their little tight t-shirts and look like a bunch of queers and, you know, let's all gather together and let's all smooch. Oh, I wish this was like every other. I wish we had a youth camp like they have. You could be like my sister who was sexually assaulted at youth camp, the Nazarene camp, when she was 15. I wish our youth camp was like these other youth camps. I wish we had a worship team. I wish they promoted mini skirts. I sure like that. I wish we were like other youth camps. Oh, the imaginations of our heart. I wish my pastor was like my old pastor. I wish that evangelist was like the guy that used to come. I wish they'd put an air conditioner in. Oh, I wish it was just nice, big, cozy, comfy. Hey, let's put recliners in, Pastor. That'll help everybody, especially in the evening service about 10 o'clock. The imaginations of your heart. Let's come back to reality.
Amen.
This isn't youth camp. This is youth week, and it's hell in the church.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
This isn't some organism that's crawled out of the dumpster and gone out and started itself to make money. It started in the church.
Amen,
amen and amen. Help me out if you don't want to help me. I'll help myself. Amen and amen.
Amen.
This isn't some self-indulgent organism trying to promote themselves through cash flow and trying to support four or five licensed people on the board and trying to make a living having to care for young people. This started in the church.
Amen.
I might be done with that, but I may not be. Living in the imagination, living in a fantasy world. I wish. I had a youth director send a dozen young people home from camp because of perversion. That's one youth camp. Well, I wish we had this. I wish we could do this. I wish we had more. I wish we had more preaching.
Amen. That's right.
In fact, we will.
Amen.
Good.
Eat lunch, 1:30. We'll come back and have preaching.
Good. Amen.
But Donnie Harvey's going to preach at 1:30.
Amen.
You don't have to be here. I just want the people here that want to be here.
That's right.
We're not calling an assembly. We're calling a meeting.
Amen.
I want people that want to be here. You young
Amen.
People that don't care about praying, don't care about anything that's going on. All you hear is for girls and boys and playing around. Go play in the mud. Parents that could give a lick about this meeting, have support this meeting with their heart, just go outside, play on the swings, eat grass. I want people here that want to be here.
Amen.
That's too strong. Don't go live in your imagination. Where everything's fantasy world. I wish I was skinny and shorter. I wish I had $1 million. Are you doing okay?
Amen.
I pick on my wife sometimes. I am just picking on her. And she knows I'm picking. She knows I love her. You do know, right? Don't be fake about that. You know I love you, right? Okay, I just want to make sure. I'll say, you know, I always dreamed I'd marry a 6'2", statuesque, long, blonde-haired beauty. And I said, but I like you.
Amen.
She rolls her eyes. Now, let's reverse that for her. All she can say is, I wish I married a guy that wasn't an idiot.
Yeah.
Oh, well, she'll survive.
Amen.
Imagination. Let me get through these other 30 verses. We're going to be here a while. 1 Kings chapter 12. Your pastor set a precedence yesterday. The first preacher can preach as long as he wants. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of that, and I'm going to preach tomorrow morning.
Amen.
Amen. And then I'm going to limit everybody else to 10 minutes. 1 Kings 12, 27. If this people, go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. He said, whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 golden calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which thou brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, this pagan Jeroboam, this degenerate, this reprobate, this wicked man Jeroboam, He knew if the people would go up and offer sacrifice at the house of God, their heart would turn. So he made them 2 golden calves. Why is religion a mess today? Because a lot of men know if they preach the truth, the people's hearts would turn to God. and they wouldn't have a following. So they give them two golden calves. I know, let's have mixed swimming at Youth Week. That'll bring in the crowd. Oh, I hit a nerve. Well, I know, let's just rather than go swimming, let's just get in our underwear and sit here. Same thing.
That's right.
Is that too offensive? I don't know how to say it fancy like some of you preachers. I just say it the way I say it.
Amen.
That's my golden calves. I think if we shorten these services, I think that more people might come. I think if we just had one preacher and some games and fireworks, and I think more people would come. We're not concerned about who comes. We're concerned about the hearts.
Amen.
You don't have to like the way this meeting's run. But get on board with it. Let it run. Let it operate. Let it move. Let God work. Let God reveal himself. Don't be the hindrance. Don't be the one. That our heart might turn. That is that contrite heart. I would pray this. It wouldn't bother me one bit. Lord, I've prayed this before, and I'm telling you the truth. Lord, I don't like what's going on here, but not, I've prayed this in meetings before, but don't let me be the hindrance. I preach in churches, I don't agree with a lot of stuff. But you know what I do? I go in there, I say, Lord, help me to help these
people. Amen.
Don't let me be the hindrance. Do you know what I prayed this morning? Lord, don't let me be angry and frustrated and bitter. But let me preach righteously the word of God, that it might prick hearts,
amen,
that it might touch hearts. And two young people, a young man, a young lady, yesterday, both. Are you listening? Along the context, and you know who you are, I'm not going to point you out. You don't have to be embarrassed. Did God help you? Did God show you something? Both of them. No. They said no. One young man said, God showed me something the night before. God showed you something? They said no. And the Lord said, the heart of this people is waxing gross. We're fat. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Is anybody catching that? Are you missing what I'm saying? Two young people from two different walks of life, from two different places, said, I didn't see anything from God yesterday. That's our fault. That's our heart. That's our rebellious and stubborn heart. That's our heart not walking with God. That's our heart not tuned with God. I call us to repentance. I call us, myself included, to repentance. What is it? What is it in us that's resistant to God? If you want to go to hell, you go ahead. But don't you take people with you.
That's
right.
Amen.
I'll fight you tooth and nail.
Yes, sir.
You want to go to hell, walk out this door, get in your car, go home and die and go to hell. But don't you take your children with you.
That's right. Amen.
Don't you take my children with you.
That's right.
Don't you take my family with you.
Amen.
Don't you take these little girls over here that I've labored over and preached to and prayed over, some of them for a dozen years. These young men and young ladies I've preached to and labored over and prayed, don't you take them to hell with you. You just go on and you go ahead and disobey God, rebel against God, but you leave these young people alone. You get your heart towards God. You get your heart in the direction of God. You get your heart right with God, that God can sweep through here. And tonight I'd say, young people, that God touched your heart, and they can lift up their hands and say, oh, God did a work in my heart. God wrought a work in my soul. God did something for me that he's never done before. Psalm 95 in verse 10. There's a key word here, and I'm done. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. It's not one person. It was this generation. How badly was God grieved? Two of them entered into his rest. One of the greatest men of the Bible so grieved God that he didn't enter into that rest. All of Israel, too, entered into his rest. He was grieved with this generation. Here's the key. It is a people that do err in their heart. Individually, no. This people do err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. Can we turn? Can we turn our heart back to God? Can we, as a whole, get back to God? What's your role in it? What did God show you this morning concerning your role in it? I'll be transparent. God showed me my role in it. I came in here tired physically, spiritually, emotionally. I told my wife yesterday, I said, I'm not really moderating the meeting. I'm just letting it run its course. Last night in prayer, I said, Lord, I'm going to take a hold of it. And if it dies, it's going to die in my hands. But if it lives, it's going to live in your hands.
Amen.
And I apologize to you, church, for faltering under the weariness of the flesh. What's your role? What's your part? Just take some time to pray. Brother Asquith, would you pray over this congregation?
Father, I rejoice in what the man of God had to say. I thank you. Thank you for reaching the people who were pricked with their heart. I pray.